Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. I'm excited. We have a great word this morning. Whew! We are coming out of the book of Isaiah still. And again, Isaiah does not play. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We got to call upon the Lord. I remember a song when I was growing up. Says you got to call him up and tell him what you want. And we got to learn how to call up the Lord, not to tell him what we want, because he already knows what we need. But to call him up and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you woke me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me another day. Thank you, Lord, that I can speak clearly. Thank you, Lord, that I'm wide awake and ready to go. Thank you, Lord, that I have a pep in my step and a dance in my feet. Thank you, Lord, that today is my pastor's birthday. And she was able to celebrate at midnight, our time. As soon as the clock struck midnight, it was 10 here, and we had a birthday celebration. So grateful that I have been able to spend some time with my pastor. It has been a great pleasure. And so I'm just thankful. We're getting ready to depart this morning. I ask you all to please keep us in prayer as we move forward in the Word of God. I'm going to open it up and give it over to Mother Valerie to pray us in this morning, because I know she's up early in the morning too, seeking the Lord and spending some time with him. So thanking God again, Father God, I thank you. I am thankful. I am grateful, and I am blessed to be a child of the Most High God. And guess what, Mother Valerie? My bags are packed. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Ready to go. I look in the closet. I'm like, all my clothes is gone. My shoes are in the bag, and I got it closed. Praise the Lord. Can you say it with me? I got it closed. So thank you, God, again, for all of you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for just spending some time with Mother Valerie and myself, because we love the Lord and we love to share his word. So, again, good morning, Mother. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm moving. And I'm thankful. Have so
praise
much to thank the Lord.
Well, I am going to turn it over for you to pray us in. Then I will be back in the book of Isaiah.
Father God, in Jesus' name, this is a wonderful day. I am so grateful, so thankful. I just love you, Lord. I thank you because I could have had a fall, and you protect me that I didn't fall backwards. I am very, 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 very grateful and thankful just to be in the land of the living. Thank you, God, for all that you do, will do, and have done. Thank you for blessing our pastors to be ready to travel and give them travel mercies and get them back to Springfield safely. God, we give you praise for the sunrise and for us to get it right another day. We thank you for being focused, because that's what the lesson was at the table. Stay focused, and let us stay focused on this day that you have made. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor and glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And, Mother, it's just, you know how God will give you a word? Stay focused. It is a great word today, because on in one of our prayers, in our little 365 days of prayer. I just have to go back. I believe it was for the 29th. It was staying focused. And it's saying staying focused. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast proud. Compassionate one, you are full of love that keeps giving. There are no shortages of your kindness. Though our natural resources are limited, they will eventually run out. Yours are infinitely abundant. It's too much to imagine the endless length of your goodness. May my attention continually be brought back to you. You are too beautiful to overlook. When I think about your ways and the indescribable loving kindness that saturates your every move, I can't help but be overwhelmed by the glory of it. Your patience reflects your great kindness. It is not manipulative, easily angered, or full of itself. Your pure love draws me in time and again. I can't help but let it. Why would I fight the current of your affection? I let the waves crash over me. You refresh me in every possible way. Here I am, Lord. There is nowhere else I'd rather be. And when you said stay focused, I thought it must have been in the spiritual wind over the weekend, because that was our word actually for Friday. I have not been giving our prayers. I've been reading them, but I haven't had a chance to give them over the air. But I'm going to read the one for today, and just to get it in, and then we're going to get into Isaiah. And it says temporary, because we do not look at the things which are seen, come on now, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:8, which we not too long ago finished. It says, everlasting God, you are forever. You know, our word for this morning is seeking God. You know, for those that need a title, it's seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And as we go into this word, it says, everlasting God. Everlasting God, you are forever constant. When everything else passes away and turns to dust, you remain. Help me not to get caught up in the temporary pleasures or worries of this age that try to dictate my level of satisfaction with life. When I set my heart on the things I have, I want now. When times of lack or wanting come, my heart is desperate with disappointment. But if I set my heart on who you are and the abundance of your merciful love that is always available, my heart finds its steadfastness in you. Disappointments come. They will not take me out. Though troubles find me, they will not dictate my peace or joy that is mine in your presence. You know what you were doing when you gave us the Spirit who brings life to all people. What an amazing gift. I am bound to you, Lord. Fill me with the power of your constant love in a new way today. And I just had to say, what has been occupying your thoughts lately? Are you seeking time with God? Hallelujah. So thanking God again for this morning and being able to speak and to teach his word on this October 2nd day. Hallelujah. I just say thanking God for you, Mother, as we get ready to move forward in the word of God. And y'all, energetic. Y'all go hear it right. It is a great word this morning. I had to say it. It is
Amen.
A great word, Mother.
It's Amen. A great word.
And I get all giddy for Jesus because it's just something about the word of God that just takes me there. And, ooh,
Amen.
Again, I want to shout out to Chief Apostle Rosita Whiting, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday again, Apostle. Oh, Chief Apostle, I pray your day was as wonderful as last night's service. It was great. It was great. And church service on yesterday at Faith Christian Center was also great. Thanking Pastor Mays and Minister Lily for their hospitality and spending time with them on yesterday morning and evening. It was nice. It was just great. You know, God just has made this a wonderful weekend of relaxation, and I didn't know it, but I needed it, Mother. And I'm coming back renewed, rejuvenated, and ready to go to work. I've been working anyway, but still ready to move forward in a different direction, thanking God for higher heights and deeper depths. So let's get started in this word, and it says this. We are coming out of Isaiah chapter 55, and I will tell you, it's highlightable. So get your highlights out, because it's a lot of highlightables in chapter 55. And there's some highlightables in 56, too, of the book of Isaiah. But 55 has a lot of highlightables. And there will be words that you will know and say, oh, I didn't know that came from there. Well, get your highlight out. It's time to go to work. And it says this, ho, to the widest, and you will have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Find your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's highlightable. And I say it again, that's our title for this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heavens higher than the earth. Ooh. And did you catch that? Heavens, plural, more than one. For as the heavens higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper thing for which I sent it. For you shall not go out with joy and be led out with peace. the mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field, their hands, instead of the thorn, shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord has told us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. We got to understand God is trying to speak to us. You know, and we'll come back to the life lessons from Dr. Stanley after we finish chapter 56. And it says, thus says the Lord, keep justice. Did you catch that? For folks that don't want to do right, they rather follow after people than follow after God. Holler and scream about what's going on with somebody than what's going on with their body, with God. God is in charge of everything. And instead of speaking up and calling on the name of Jesus, they rather call on the name of this person, that person, taking it to the phone and not to the throne. We got to take it to God, whatever the situation is. Because sometimes there's things going on that we don't always know. But God knows everything. And it tells us, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from devouring the Sabbath. Ooh, what a word, mother, what a word. And it says, and keep his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me. The eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus is the Lord to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath and chooses what pleases me and holds fast my covenant. But to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant. Everyone who keeps from devouring the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. We got to catch that. You know, we got to have a house of prayer. Know that God wants that, to make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I got to read that again. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. All you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts, his watchmen, are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. Greed. God is talking about greed, the greed of mankind. And we got to get out of all of that. We got to get and seek God. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. our title for this morning. Call upon him while he is near. And it says the Lord invites us to come boldly into his presence anytime of day or night to receive his counsel, confess our sins, make requests, and just enjoy his company. Hebrews 4 and 16, enjoy his company. Isaiah 55 and 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Even when we do not understand what God is up to in our lives, which may happen frequently, he asks us to trust him. He knows what he is doing, even if we cannot comprehend his methods or timing. For to obey God is to bless ourselves. Disobey God is to curse ourselves. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life. Did Jesus say, I have come, so they may have death? Did he say that? Because life and death is in the power of this tongue. Situation. Life over our finances. Life over our children. Life over our parents. Life over our churches. Life. Speak life over ourselves. God is not ready for us. When he is, he will call us home. We can't always run around looking all pitiful. You know, it says, wash your face. Get yourself straight when you're fasting. You ain't got to look all pitiful. So folks, are you all right? Oh, girl, I'm just fasting. I'm fasting. Oh, you know. No. How you doing? I'm doing great. Because we are. When we give it to God, we are doing whatever your situation, I'm doing great. You got to start speaking life over your situations. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I'm doing great. Whatever it
Amen.
Is, I'm doing great. Because I know
Amen.
That I'm going to speak life, not death. Jesus came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:10. We got to live that. He spoke life so we can have it more abundantly. We got to have an abundant life. Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not return to me void. God promises to bless his word. And who is the word? Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. We got to have that John 1:1 in our spirit. The word was and is God. And it says, God promises to bless his word, his son, not ours. We are wise if we honor that word and represent it accurately and effectively as we can. Whenever we get the opportunity to speak on God's behalf, we got to speak on salvation. We've got to speak on the word. The word is flesh, and it is Jesus. And we got to tell folks about him. Tell somebody who Jesus is. Tell somebody who he is in your life. He is your Savior. He is your friend. He is your comforter. He is the one you call upon in the middle of the night when you're tossing and you're turning and you don't know what to do about any situation. You call on the word. You go to the word and you speak the word. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know who we are, and we got to learn how to call on our Father. We got to learn to say, I am offended. We got to be bold like Jabez and speak it. Bless me. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. We got to have one of those in our spirit. The pastor on the other night spoke on Jabez, but he spoke it in a way that I never would have thought. And it was dealing with his mother. His mother named him Jabez. And you're thinking, that is not a very nice name to name your child, to call your baby grief. You know, basically calling pain. You know, not calling him who he is. You know, and when we go over to Second Chronicles, Jabez called on God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil. And that's a word, keep me from evil. We've got to ask God, keep us from evil, that I may not cause pain. Yes, that I may not cause, because it says here, and Asher, the father of Teokoa, had two wives, Hela and Nera. Nera bore him Ahazam, Hefer, Kemani, and Hashatah. These were the sons of Nera. The sons of Hela were Zethar, Zor, and Ethan, and Koz. He got Anab, Zebah, Zabibah, and the families of Israel, the son of Ron. And then Jabez. And it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Again, he sought God while he could be found. He sought God while he was near. But he said it would keep, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Mother called him to bear because she bore him in pain. And you think about that name. Oh, you walking around with a name called I bore him in pain. You know, because I bore him in pain. His name is Jabez. And that's what the pastor preached on. And he said, so God granted his request so that he would keep him from evil, so he would not cause pain. Because what did he do? He sought God. When it tells you in Isaiah 56 and 7, my house shall be called a house of prayer. What did Jabez do? He prayed. What should we be doing? We need pray. And it says God is serious about prayer and about his people from throughout the world gathering to pray together. Jesus quoted this verse when he drove the merchants and money changers out of the temple in Mark 11, verses 15 through 17. Jesus drove them out in Mark 11, and he told them, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer, and not a den of thieves. Selling all kind of stuff in the house of God and not spending time with God, not praying. You know, and I can say this because I don't always make prayer on Tuesday nights. And I need to start going to prayer. It's important. I've realized that prayer is important. It will change your life. We got to get into the house of God. We've got to get the house that we reside in, this body, and we need to pray to lift up the name of Jesus and pray. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we are in the 113th psalm, verses 5 through 9. And it says this, who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He rises the poor and out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ashes, that he may set him with princes, with the prince of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. And I do need to go back over to Isaiah 56. I got all carried away because the word just got real good to me, mother. And it says, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold from defiling the Sabbath. You know, we were talking about the Sabbath. How many folks go to church on the true Sabbath? We don't. We have made a new Sabbath, which is Sunday. But we all know Sabbath starts at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. And we don't follow it. We don't follow Sabbath like we should. And, you know, I'm believing that eventually we will go back to true Sabbath, that churches will be open on Saturdays, that we will start doing what the Word of God says. And, you know, it started with the resurrection and then this and that. The Word of God says, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. And I don't believe we do that. You know, and he talked about, you know, the eunuchs. He talked about everybody. And he talked about somebody being greedy dogs. And, you know, when I read this word, I just want to go down one more time, and then I'm giving it over to Mother Valerie for our Proverbs this morning. And it says, even them, and I want to go up to verse number 6. He says, also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. It didn't say a house of prayer for, oh, America, I got you. England, I got you. I'm sorry, India. No, I'm not catching you. I'm sorry, Asia. All of y'all countries. Yeah, not Kevin. No, that's not what the Word of God says. He says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others beside those who are gathered to him. All you beasts of the field come to devour, all the beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs. God calls certain things greedy. Greedy dogs. Folks that just want to get. Gimme, 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 gimme. But never want to give anything. And they never have enough. He said, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. Come on now. You know, God is telling us some stuff. I'm going to read that again. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough, and they are shepherds. How many times have you watched some folks on television, and all they do is ask for money, and if you give them this, they're going to send you a little cloth of some water from the Jordan. If you give them that, they're going to send you a ball of prayer oil. If you give them the other, they're going to send you this. And all they need is $29.95. And it don't matter. It could be $129.95. It could be $1,029.95. But you need the $29.95 to get your blessing. Greedy dogs. God is speaking it. And he's telling us already in advance who cannot understand. They all look on way. Everyone for his own gain. Come on now. From his own territory. Come one says, I will bring wine and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. After everything, forgiven nothing. God will hold accountable all the shepherds who are greedy dogs, which never have enough. God is in charge, and we better understand that we are blessed. I know I'm blessed that I have a great shepherd who is not in the pulpit asking for money to buy a car, asking for money to buy a plane, asking for money for everything for self. But the one thing you want to say, why are you not asking money for the widows in your church? Why are you not asking money for the single moms who are just barely making it but pay their tithes faithfully? Why are you not asking to help the grandmothers and great-grandmamas raising their kids and grandkids? Why are you not asking for anything for the grandparents, the foster parents, the folks that are out there doing the job that nobody else wants to do, including the parents of these children? Children in foster care and can't be adopted. Come on now. God is not pleased, and we better understand it. My house should be a house of prayer and seeking him. Seek the Lord while he may be found, because one day that trumpet will be sounded. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. She was saying, good morning, saints of God, people of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found, because there is one day, and then call upon him while he's near. There is one day you're going to try to find God, and you're not going to be able to find him. So our title is Seek the Lord Now, right now. Call upon him. I'm reading Proverbs 26:20-21. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no tailbearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals, wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Ephesians 4:1-32. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseeches you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wow. Gentleness, long suffering. We have to suffer long, and you have to bear with one another, and we should do that. There is one body, one Spirit, as just as you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord. There's only one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God is in each and every one of us. One God, one Father, one Lord. He studied, teaches us, and he studied, tells us what he wants us to know. There's nothing else out there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. But to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivities captive and gave gifts to man. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Christ descended into the bottomless pit. He descended into hell, and then he ascended, where he went on back to heaven. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, listening to every gospel. Well, it's not really the gospel, but listen to everything that's out there, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, Jehovah Witnesses and people of that nature. We're no longer children that we're tossed to and fro by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body joined, hit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does this year, calls growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If everybody would do their part, stay in their own lane, it would edify the body. and we do it in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk in all uncleanness with greediness. And that's what she was talking about, thy greedy dogs. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the only way that you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind is reading God's word. Reading God's word every day. Be renewed in your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Be renewed in your mind. That's like George Myers, renew your mind. The only way you can do it, I'll repeat, is with the word of God. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry. Do not sin. Not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. A lot of times we get angry. We get angry. But he said, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get angry, repent, and don't let the sun go down. Let him who stole, don't steal no longer, but let him labor. Work with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. If you're stealing, stop your stealing. Let no corrupt word proceed out your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Didn't I grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Oh, Lord, let us be in unity. Let us forgive one another. A lot of times, and this is going to happen, people do stuff to you. Sometimes they do stuff to you, and they're not even aware that they're doing stuff to you. You know, but you have to forgive them if you're going to be Christ-like. And he teaches us day by day by day. You will learn this until the very day you die. Forgive one another. Love one another. Forgive, love, don't be afraid, little children. Love one another. Love, love, love. It's all about love. It's not about money, how many cars you have, houses, and how many clothes you have. You're not going to say that, you know, at your home going. I mean, did you love somebody? Did you try to help somebody? I mean, we're most like Jesus when we're helping other people. You got to first love other people. You have to love someone, help someone, do good. I mean, sometimes all that other person needs is a little bitty smile, a hug. How are you doing? They say we got some of the most angry saints. Maybe they look angry, and maybe some of them are angry, and maybe some of them are not angry. But smile at that person. Give them a hug. I mean, nobody knows what another person is going through. I'll say that again and again. I don't know what you're going through, but I can say I love you. I can say hello. I can say hi. Just love on somebody. And Pastor Jesse teaches that all the time. Smile, love, joy, peace. Love on somebody. Do good. Help somebody. Life lessons, Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. Our behavior in Christ is to match our profession of Christ. To walk worthy means that we are to live in a way that honors and pleases God. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his ambassadors. And they got the thing out, what would Jesus do? When somebody do something to you, think about the Lord. What would Jesus do? If somebody be mean to you or step on your toe, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man. When Paul tells us to put on the new man, he means that we have to make a conscious moment-by-moment choice to depend upon the Spirit's power to transform us into the likeness of Christ. The Christian life is a life of growth. None of us have arrived. None of us have already become all that God means for us to become. Every day we are to conform a little more to the image of Christ. I say again, we are ambassadors. What would Jesus do? If we think before we act, a lot of times we act before we can think. Road rage, you know, people do a lot of stuff out there, and we can't respond. We just can't. I mean, if we do, we're not walking in the Spirit. These lessons that we teach, these lessons that God wants us to learn, is in his word, and we have to be conscious of it every single day of our life. How do we respond? What do we say? We are ambassadors to Christ. He left us down here to represent him. He died for us. He sacrificed his life so that he may live through us. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in love, unity, peace. We can't just let the world, every time somebody says something nasty to you, well, you respond the way they're responding. That's not walking in the Spirit. It's a lot of times when people are rowdy or they talk loud and say nasty things, if you would just lower your voice, talk peacefully, they'll do the same thing. They'll lower their voice. Listen, my God, your life lessons, I mean, you know, the things are true, life's principle. Ephesians 4:28, how would you complete the following three statements? God saved me because, well, God saved me because he loves me. He said God's purpose for saving me was, God's purpose for saving me was to give him praise, to give him glory. He said, I'm most like Jesus when I am helping other people. And that's true. When you're helping other people, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what life is all about. I'm most like Jesus when I'm helping other people, when I'm giving of myself. Paul Crouch's wife, before she died, she said that she had a nervous breakdown. And she couldn't do anything for herself. And she said God told her to help somebody else. And she said, God, you must be joking. You must be joking. I mean, my mind is messed up. I'm messed up. I'm taking medication. And you want me to help somebody else? Paul and Jan Crouch. And she said, he said it again. Help that lady, help somebody, help that woman. And she said, no, no, I'm not doing that. And she said, I think she said she heard it a third time, go and help. And she said, when she began to help somebody else, all this depression, everything that she was going through, it just completely dropped off of her. And she became herself again. I said, boy, what a testimony. I mean, depression, being, she was mental for a while. She said all of that dropped off of her. She said she listened to God and she began to minister to somebody else. And as she ministered to somebody else, God ministered to her. She became herself again. So that's what he wants us to do. I mean, you can be going through, but maybe you can speak a kind word, help somebody else. I give you this little quiz not to put you on the spot, but to set the proper framework for our discussion. I'm seeking the following answers to my question. God saved me because he loves me. The sole reason that God sent his son to the world to die for your sins and mine was because he loved us. God forgives us, grants us eternal life, gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. Out of his immeasurable love and grace, there is no other reason. There is no other reason. A lot of times people, they say something told me. That's something they call God's small, quiet voice. Something told me not to do this. Something told me to do that. But that's the Holy Spirit talking to you if you're a Christian. He's telling you, be still, know that I'm God. That's something is the Spirit of the Lord. They say, and you know, I kind of believe that too. They say you have two voices within you. The Holy Spirit telling you to do right and the devil whispering in your ear telling you to do wrong. So what are you going to listen to? The voice of evil? I mean, you can rebuke Satan. Get some hints. Get behind me. Get in your place. Go. A lot of times I've heard Pastor Jesse throw out in the church, she said, whatever's not out of God, leave here right now. We follow her example as she follows God. Yes, we do. And God is just good. So you have to listen to the voice of God. God will not lead you wrong. He's God. He's your Father. He's not going to lead you wrong. I mean, sometimes, you know, the Bible says you say that you haven't sinned or don't sin, you're lying anyway. But we don't have to sin. We can listen to God because we are children of the Most High God. We are his children, and we can listen to the right voice. And he got an old song out, do the right thing. We can do the right thing, but you have to want. You have to want. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You have to want. You have to have a desire to do the right thing. You do have to have a desire. Many people seem to believe that God saves a man or woman because the person's good works are serious. Nothing could be farther from the truth. No amount or type of service can earn salvation. Apostle Paul makes this very clear when he wrote, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And faith is simply believing in God. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Look, please, anyone should boast. Even this faith by which we believe that God forgives us and saves us is a divine gift that flows from his love. This point is critical to understand. Any good we do is in response to God's gift of salvation, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit, never in order to earn, win, or warrant salvation. God's purpose for saving me was to give him glory. God saved you and me so that we might be his trophies. We serve as examples to others of God's love, mercy at work in and through a human life. Many people seem to think that the only reason for salvation is so that a person might go to heaven when he dies. Eternal life is a part of God's plan of forgiveness, but that is not the sole purpose for our salvation. God saved us that we might reflect his nature, that we might be his people on this earth, doing the kind of work that Jesus himself would do. And that's what I said. What would Jesus do if he were walking in our shoes through our world during our lifetime? God desires to manifest his character through our personality and giftness. When we allow his Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to others, we become vessels of his love and action. We reflect his compassion, his love, and mercy to others. And in so doing, we are his witness. We bring credit, honor, and glory to him. I'm most like Jesus when I serve others, and that's what I was saying. The far more characteristic of life of Jesus Christ was and is service. We are most like him when we serve as he served. Many seem to think that a person is like Jesus when he preaches like Jesus taught, heals like Jesus healed, or performed miracles like Jesus performed miracles. They look only at the outward manifestation of a person's witness and ministry. They need to look beyond the outer manifestation to the motivation of Jesus' life. That motivation was always service. You know, if our Lord can serve others, then we should serve others. Jesus preached, taught, healed, and performed miracles in order to help others, never to call attention to himself. Now, you know, that's something. Jesus came, our Lord came to serve us. He washed the disciples' feet. Oh, my goodness. He poured out his very life so that others might be saved, never thinking for a moment to save himself. Paul caught exactly the right tone when he wrote, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." God has called you to serve others just as Jesus served others. He didn't save you or call you to serve so that you might be exalted, praised, glorified, put on a pedestal. He saved you so that you might serve others, and in doing, bring praise and honor to God's holy name. He blesses you so that you might bless others. That's what he gives you that money for.
Excuse me.
Is to bless others. He saved you so that you might bless others. It's not the key to yourself. The good news is that any person who is saved can serve God, bring glory to him. The nature of the ministry test or calling is not the important thing. What is important is the motivation behind our service. God loves us so that we might love others. He blessed us so that we might bless others. In a nutshell, in a bag of chips, that's what the Christian life is all about, serving and blessing others. I want to say happy birthday to Pastor Jesse, Shirley Jones, Rita Davis, and Chase. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, which means call upon him while he's near, because there's going to come a day when you call upon God and he won't answer. There's going to come a day when his back is turned. So seek the Lord. Seek him right now. I mean, he's calling. He's opened up his arms. He sacrificed his very life, for us. And we are to help others. Help others. Help them. Bring them to the Lord. I'm going to turn this back over to the hands of our pastor.
Amen. Just want to, before we get out today, give some words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And Sister Carolyn has been on the road this past weekend. And the word for Saturday was faith and love are the keys to victory in every situation. And on yesterday, good morning, he who heeds the word, come on, Mother, wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16:20. And a word for this morning, don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on side. Have a mellow Monday. Have a mellow mind Monday. I love that. Have a mellow mind Monday. So I will not let anybody at the airport set me off today. I'm going to have a mellow mind Monday. So Mother Valerie, have a mellow mind Monday. And as the Lord watches between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other, I pray over you and yours. Mother Rita, happy birthday. And just really quickly, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mother Rita. Happy birthday
to you.
Have a wonderful birthday, Mother Rita. Have a wonderful day, Mother Valerie. To all of those that have called in this morning, happy birthday all, Pastor Jesse. Apostle Whiting, Chief Apostle Whiting. Happy birthday to Chase. My son's birthday is tomorrow, and I will be wishing him a happy birthday on the call. So happy birthday to all the birthdays this month. Actually, Adam is not until next week, and I believe Chase is also next week. Their birthdays are a day apart. Thank God for you and all the October birthdays as we start this wonderful month. And just being blessed to know that we are highly favored by God. Again, don't let anybody set you out today. Have a mellow mind Monday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. God bless you. Congratulations on your new grandbaby girl. Evangelist Sandra Shannon, who also is a moving forward alumni and regular caller. Happy congratulations on your 14th great-grandchild, little girl. So God is good, and he is bringing out more and more beautiful babies into the world. So all we can say is let us have a great world for them to come into by treating each other as we want to be treated and by seeking God while he is near. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a blessed and wonderful day. I got to get ready to go home. So I thank you. I praise God for you. Say him where I am. So got to get up. It's time to get up, y'all. So have a wonderful, wonderful day. Praising the Lord and seeking his face while he can be found. Call upon him while he's near. Don't take it to the phone. Take it to the throne. Whatever you need, talk to God. Take care, family. I love you all. Keep Pastor Jesse and Pastor Connie and Minister Barbara and myself in your prayers as we get ready to travel back to Illinois. And again, happy birthday to Chief Apostle Whiting, whose hospitality is above measure. Cannot say enough how thankful, grateful I am for being able to be in her presence over this birthday weekend for her. Her daughter, Amicia, and all of her girls were wonderful. It has been a great pleasure. And I just can't do nothing more than say thanking God for his grace and mercy and just thanking him for working on me. Thank you, God. Just looking at the mountains and knowing the grace of God that he can put even trees in the desert. Oh, look at God. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Mother, have a blessed day. Everyone else, have a blessed day. Mother Rita, happy birthday again. And to all of you, thank you for listening in. To little old Mother Valerie and myself, as Jennifer Hudson would say, thank you for joining little old me. But I want to say thank you for joining little old us as we move forward in the Word of God. Have a blessed day, everybody. It is a wrap. I got to get ready
to
go.
It's a wrap.
Take care and be blessed. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.